Hey, what's up, y'all? It is Johnson, a very special episode of not Crudo, but Poderosa's FC Radio. And this one in particular is a one-off to cover the Goals for Gaza event. It is March 30th, 2024. Gaza has been under siege for several months, and things just continue to escalate. There's really no place for anyone to go within Gaza. Every evacuation site becomes the next target for Israeli bombs, and it's just really no end in sight. It seems no hope, no options for the folks that are trapped in Gaza and all the rest. And so some really awesome folks that you're going to hear from a little bit later have organized this tournament as a benefit, working with the Palestinian Youth Movement and a few other orgs to raise money to donate directly to people in need. Whether it's medical supplies, whether it's food now, there's increased famine, unfortunately, now in the area. And so a lot going on. If you can hear, there's music, but there's also the beautiful patter of rain because it is pouring, absolutely pouring rain. That does not keep a single person away. There's probably 150 people here on my best guess. And so a really amazing turnout. And we're going to hear from some of the folks that are out here playing, out here organizing, out here supporting, whether drumming. So I hope you appreciate getting to be here in a virtual sense if you weren't able to make it, or getting to hear everything you didn't hear because you are out playing and getting soaked and all the rest. All right, y'all. Volemos.
My name is Nico Avina. I'm one of the organizers of the event. We play pickups on Wednesday nights, Saturday mornings, sort of a collective of different folks from around the city. Ariana and Sydney, you know, kind of like thought about the idea, and it started evolving. You know, I was brought in, you know, as part of the organizers, and, you know, I kind of felt like that we should be reaching out to other members of the community that are already doing stuff, you know, with community politically, and are aware of the social issues that are going on. So I reached out to Poderosas, I reached out to Futbolistas, I reached out to Tigres and North End, and everybody reached out to different folks, and so here we are now, you know, and from an idea to have this beautiful event. Even though it's raining, and you know that people don't come out in LA when it rains, but to see this amount of people, this amount of community, you know, and just the soccer community growing overall, it's beautiful.
What's going on? My name is Zainab. I am out here at Goals for Gaza, a wonderful, beautiful event. I ended up here through Instagram. I follow Dyke Soccer, and they posted about it, so by chance I saw it that day. Landed myself here. It's been really nice being here, meeting folks. The main reason for me for coming out as a Middle Eastern person living in the US, even before the things happened in the fall, it's been ongoing for so long, and this issue is one that has been on my mind for years, and more so every single day. It's heartbreaking to see what's happening. I'm constantly in a state of what to do with all these emotions, and I figured alongside other activist work, there's nothing better than showing up in community and playing a game like soccer that already is so much about community.
My name is Sydney Reyes, pronouns are she, her. I'm one of the head organizers for this event. Yes,
my name is Liz Castro, pronouns she, her, hers. Came out today because I saw folks from LA Futbolistas posting about it. And our space. It's super focused on social justice, solidarity with the people of Palestine. And so I was super excited to see this, to combine politics and, of course, football, which is kind of up our alley as futbolistas.
My name is German. People call me Germs or Herman. Well, actually, my name's Herman, but people call me German. And I heard about the event through Poderosas, which is a supporter group that I'm a part of.
My name is Mohammed Rafai. I heard this event from a friend that I met at a Palestinian protest, and he posted it on Instagram, and I saw it, and that's how I figured out about it.
My name is Antonio Crisóstomo Romo. I play with the Los Angeles Futbolistas, and a collective of folks that get together, play soccer for radical progressive change every Sunday, and that's how I heard about the Goals for Gaza tournament.
Yeah, hey everybody, this is JoJo, she, her pronouns. Yeah, I'm here today, one, for the love of the game, but also what that means is being in solidarity with all folks who play it, right? And so I'm out here in the rain with some beautiful people. I heard about this event, yeah, through social media, but also through all of the wonderful spaces I've had the honor to be a part of, like Poderosas, Tigres, Futbolistas, just a bunch of a group of folks that, you know, also share this love for the game, but also share this also love for community, right? And also understand that it's super important to be here in solidarity with the folks of Palestine. So yeah.
What's up, everyone? My name is Tiff. Pronouns she, her, ella, aka La Latis. And I'm with Poderosas, and we are helping host this event. So they said we need people to support, we need people to chant, we need people to bring yummy, warm stuff for folks, and we got all that. So yeah.
My name is Jeremy Gaspar Lahoud. I heard about the event today, Goals for Gaza, from Poderosas, who I just joined this season. I mean, what brought me out is like, it's the intersection of love for football and love for Palestine, and just happy to be here and play for a really important cause. And I think it's part of like the community and culture we're building in LA, that we can like support Palestine and, you know, play soccer at the same time.
I'm Ariana Raygoza, and I am the organizer of Goals for Gaza, one of them. I received seven other volunteers who helped me create and develop Goals for Gaza and what it is today.
Yeah, I went on a bus from OC to San Francisco. We were on the same bus. We spent the day together. We had each other on social media. He posted it and I saw it, and yeah.
Wow. So yeah, in my mind it was just you went down to like downtown LA and you're from around here, anything like that. And
no.
So, yeah.
I drove an hour from Chino Hills here to play, and yeah, that's really dope.
What brought you out versus kind of staying warm and toasty at home?
Really manages accountability to my community, you know, accountability to the cause, feeling a strong affinity for the struggle of people in Gaza and Palestinian diaspora, and really just oppressed peoples all over the world. And then locally, just, you know, my friends, I know what we stand for, what we play for. And I figured, you know, there's plenty more people going through much rougher times. So let me peel myself out of the bed, come out, and, you know, the worst I'm going to do is come out here, play soccer in the rain. So, it's, you know, can't complain too much. It's a blast. It's a great event. And I think the organizers have done a tremendous job.
My name is Monica. I heard about the event through this amazing community called Futbolistas, which is a sweet, incredible lefty space that happens on Sundays where we get together. We play a little bit of football and we think about how we can change the world to be a better place by infusing it with our left values.
There's a genocide going on right now in Gaza, and this was like one of the ways that we could show our support, right? One of the many ways. A few folks are heading out to a march after this as well, and it's all about being in, I don't want to say like in struggle, but like the struggle is like the practice, right? So it's like a constant practice of showing solidarity with Palestine, with the people of Palestine and their liberation movement.
I think like a lot of us, we've all been horrified and devastated at what we've been watching the last 6 months. And I think a lot of what so many of us have taken away from it is the need to organize and the need for community, because a lot of us, I think, have been feeling so isolated. So Goals for Gaza started out as like a late night idea with some soccer buddies who, you know, and soccer was a really great way to implement it, because I think soccer is so universal. It breaks all boundaries, religious, geographical, economic.
Yeah, so I really noticed in my soccer community, which is kind of the majority of my friend group, the emotional toll that the situation in Gaza, Rafah, occupied Palestine was taking on my friends, and we didn't really know where to put our grief. And I saw in the UK and in New York that there were some games put on, football in solidarity with Palestine, and it was more like groups that were established were kind of getting together on one day and doing something. And I'm sure that there are others that are a little bit more built out, but I had the idea that what if we put our grief into practice, into literal play, and we did something here among our little circle of seven organizers. We had the capacity to reach out to even more organizations, brands, people involved who love the game, play the game, love the game, who are supporters of the pro teams here. There's so many people, and LA is just a microcosm of what football is for the world.
It seems like folks in the United States, and when I say folks, I mean supporters of the big sports leagues, usually the men's sports leagues, and most mainstream sports consumers would probably say there's really not a lot of overlap between sports and politics, or that, you know, sports should be apolitical, or at the very least they're apathetic, kind of just like, not now, you know, I'm cheering for my team. And I think quite a few would probably be a bit more aggressively against the intermingling of politics and sports, given that we're at a benefit event that is specifically a 5v5 soccer tournament that will benefit the hopeful liberation of Palestine. How do you see the relationship between sports and politics and the transformative power, if you believe that there is, within sports?
Ooh, that's a big question. That's like a dissertation question.
Sports and politics is inseparable, just like almost every other aspect of our lives is inseparable from politics, because that's just the kind of stranglehold they have us in, right? But if you want to talk about, it's not even necessarily about politics, and it's more about humanity. And you can see that early on when the bombardment on Gaza happened, you could see young kids wearing Vinicius Jr. jerseys, Ronaldo jerseys, Messi jerseys, and you can see people tagging these athletes, begging them to bring some sort of recognition to what's going on. So in that sense, there's really no separation, because Palestinians enjoy soccer just as much as us, and for them there's no distinction. That it's their way of life, it's our way of life. And like I said, politics has their claws in almost everybody's lives.
Wow. Well, first I'd like to say, sports are deeply political. Everything about sports is political. And it's really baffling to hear folks say otherwise sometimes, because, when we think about not only who plays the game, right, but also what it looks like, for example, in Palestine, right, There's folks out there that, you know, are finding solace in the game and have found, this game to be not just a game, right, but as a tool of building, a tool of resistance, right, to the ongoing occupation. And that's true for many countries and many places.
I think outside of the U.S., sports, particularly football, it's a very different thing, right? So, around the globe, soccer is, it's the global sport, but it's a place for folks to express political opinions. And, if you look at, like, whether it's Europe, Latin America, obviously the Arab world, like, folks are coming out for Palestine, like, hard. Even if they're, like, their clubs, same with, like, Angel City ownership, are, like, tamping it down, they're coming out, right? Bold. And I think, some of that is growing here in the U.S. with supporter culture. So a lot, I would say, there's like supporter culture that's not as political, but what I've seen, particularly like in the women's game, is very political and very like liberatory in the type of the politics we bring.
We love the sport, but we also know what it means to like, to be human, to not lose our humanity and understand that there's social movements out there that we should be supporting.
Football is a working man's sport. It belongs to the world. There's not a country on this planet that doesn't have a national team that plays in the World Cup or has some sort of national team, right? And so it's funny when people say that football is not political. And I'm just like, well, why do we have national teams then? Why is there the World Cup? That's super political, right? And then even in terms of, like, leagues being able to push or, like, add pressure to an already, like, mounting pressure to stop apartheid, you can easily look at South Africa. South Africa was excluded from the FIFA World Cup during their apartheid, and that actually helped put pressure to, like, actually end, along with political, along with movement work, along with solidarity work, it actually helped push South Africa to end apartheid. So when people say, like, it's not political, I'm just like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, it's so political. And that's something that the U.S. could also, like, help to apply pressure to end the genocide happening in Palestine and the occupation of Palestine as a whole. So, yeah, I think it's silly when people say that. It's actually really lazy, and it's insulting to yourself if that's the way you see it, right? Because you're not giving yourself that space to grow or to learn or to, like, shift or change, you know, and it's super important for movement work, right? We don't stay stagnant. We're always just kind of, like, recalibrating, like, what can we do better? What are our wins? What are our losses? And I think we can apply that to, like, to football as well.
I think, you know, all things are inherently political, and, you know, specifically with soccer and with Palestine, like, we have seen, you know, we've seen censorship at a lot of games. The Palestinian flag is barred and banned. Players are censored. They're specific, more in Europe, there's, like, threats of police action with in the pros with players who have tried to stand up and speak out. And Israel systematically targets Palestinian soccer players. We also, you know, when Russia invaded Ukraine, they were sanctioned by FIFA, who is not doing a goddamn thing with Israel. Israel also, you know, when we talk about the way they level the land, they build their apartheid wall cuts into stadiums, and then they build their pitches on stolen Palestinian land, you know, with the settlers. I also, you know, soccer, when we look at, like, politics and specifically, like, grassroots movements, I think it's all about accessibility. It's about community, and I think it's about giving people something to do, and I think soccer is such a wonderful thing for that because so many people play it, and soccer is so accessible. All you need is a ball.
Sports is political, just the nature of it. Staying silent on matters like this, on matters of genocide, is political. Taking a silent stance is taking a political stance to support genocide, to be complicit with oppression, right? And personally, just for me, like, that's been a huge, sports, soccer, basketball, you name it, has just been huge vehicles for me to stay connected to political movements, to learn about political movements, and really to channel, right, activism, and show up and take up space in that way. So definitely interconnected. You can't separate the two.
I mean, one, sports has the power to bring people together. I think that it is a sport, especially soccer is a sport where, like, we get to know each other intimately. We have to trust each other. We have to form companionship. And that's, like, the building block for change, right? Like, if you know each other, if you trust each other, then you can get a little bit closer to understanding where people are coming from. And that's part of what I think is also happens when it comes to these big issues that are, like, across the world. You're against me, I'm against you. But maybe we can actually bridge that gap a little bit more and come to understand where each other are coming from. And soccer is, like, this perfect bridge to do that. We love it. But two, the assertion that sports is not political is, I think, completely 100% false. Sports is politics. I mean, you see that when you see someone like Vinicius Jr. being called racist terms. You see that when women are not getting fair pay and playing this beautiful, incredible sport. You see all of these things that are manifesting in the world of soccer. And so to somebody to claim not that soccer is not political, that sports is not political, I think is just patently false.
But I think to bring in conversation into the game and to hold space for folks to share what they think, to share what they're going through, to have open conversation while also playing a sport. And just, I think the act of play and fun can really open folks up. So I think the combo of the two, this is my first time coming to something like this, you know, a political and sport type event. But so far, just the space that's held from that, I think, is really open.
I mean, I always go back to, like, our little Futbolista slogan of, like, to change the world, you have to change the way that you play, which, you know, sounds, like, super basic. But I just think of that in, like, my personal life and just like the personal is political, and just the way that you interact with folks, the way that you bring yourself to a space, it's all political.
Well, we've written this, it's in our website and it's on our zine, that the act of football is an act of resistance because it is the people's sport. And I think that that has been happening for centuries, for as long as this game has ever been, was ever conceptualized, because it's so easy to start and it's so easy to bring people into the game and engage with. So even for people who believe that is not politically driven, like, that's just not the history of what football is. Even as it continues, like, I think it is getting a lot of attention from U.S. fans at the moment. People are really engaged. Football is now fashion, and I don't think you could do it passively. Even if you believe that you are, you're still saying something.
I mean, if anything, a lot of sports outlets try to mute or, you know, silence what's happening about Palestine. And players, football players in Europe have been punished for being pro-Palestinian. But we had the privilege of uniting and doing something, raising money that will you know, feed people in Gaza. That's you know, what's better than that?
I mean, I think there are always players who will put themselves out there, you know. And, there's different ways that they do it. Like, it's hard sometimes to do it on the pitch because the way the leagues are and they shut stuff down. I mean, it's interesting, like, in the midst of the pandemic, after George Floyd's murder, we did see some of that, and, like, the leagues let it happen. You know, there's the Palestine exception, and people are, like, progressive on everything but Palestine in a lot of ways. But, I think there are always individual players, and then we've seen, like, players organizing, right? Like, I think in MLS there's, like, a Black Players Coalition, there's a similar thing. In NWSL. So folks have to be organized. Like, it's, you know, you have the Kaepernicks who are like the single folks and then they get back up, but really they got to organize too. And I think you see some of that, yeah.
But likewise, soccer, as I mentioned, right, and as folks agree here, is a tool of resistance to these oppressive systems. And so I think being in spaces like this is a very big reminder that, you know, building community and playing the game is a building tool, right? To push back against these oppressive systems.
I mean, I just think overall soccer is a people sport, you know, globally. And there's a lot of movements, there's a lot of social movements throughout Latin America or worldwide, let's just say worldwide, that are already focusing on soccer. You know, like I said, it's the people sport. You know, you play it, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, what sort of social background you come from, everyone plays the sport. You know, and so it's important. That's why for me, to see the work that Poderosas are doing, to see the work that Los Tigres del Norte are doing, of being politically aware and socially conscious and making an effort to, like, you know, always be vocal.
I want our, like, simple things. I want my family to be safe. I want my community to have jobs. Those are things that, like, we can all put towards solidarity movement too. So, like, those are things that, like, on a humanistic level, like, people want in Palestine as well, you know. And when we're talking about all these occupation forces, what do? They take away people's rights, they take away certain safeties, and they make us feel unsafe, right? But we got each other, so fuck that.
When, you know, I feel a little bit like powerless or like hopeless about things, like, I just remember, like, hey, I have a community, like, we can do a lot of cool things together. I just think about, like, Copa and stuff, like, you making something out of nothing. I just feel like that all ties in. I'm not super eloquent about it.
Shout out to everybody resisting in different forms. Folks who may not be able to come out here but are doing whatever they can to show solidarity and building community in their own way. Shout out to all those folks. Shout out to folks resisting on the ground. Not only here, but more importantly, also in Palestine, right? And folks from the diaspora that have been holding it down.
Shout out to the organizers again for putting together this beautiful tournament. Shout out to the Palestinian youth movement for leading in the chants and breaking it down to us tournament goers about what they're all about. Shout out to the people in Gaza. Shout out to the Poderosas. Shout out to the LA Futbolistas. Shout out to my Northeast LA community, all my friends and family. And que viva el fútbol!
I don't know. I think for a lot of us that are, like, pro-Palestine, you're, like, looking for people who are also pro-Palestine because it's, like, sanity. And it's been really fun to see that so much of the soccer world is so pro-Palestine.
I mean, the situation going on in occupied Palestine has only worsened. And I think people it's just built up. People want to be together, and we go to marches and we go to rallies, and I know that we do that, but this was different. This was like, what if we could enjoy ourselves together while standing in solidarity? And we had a mixer on Friday for the players to get their jerseys, meet their teams, and those people who showed up, I think it was maybe 1/4 of the players, so stoked, like so excited to be there. I saw so many people just turn to one another, want to know who they were, how they got associated with this, like so many friendships blossomed out of this.
Your team was able to take the inaugural Goals for Gaza yeah. title. How did that game feel? Were you confident the entire time? Tell us about that.
I mean, I think we were fortunate. Like, we had myself and Alejandra playing in the back, and then we had three folks up front who could combine, so we held down the back line and let them play. And honestly, it's just a privilege to be here. You know, I'm third generation Arab American. I've been in like Palestine solidarity work since my young days. And to see something like this, the evolution of support for Palestine in this country, especially with younger folks, is amazing. And so to be able to like win the championship, it's my first tournament. So it was a lot of fun. And I had a feeling this morning, I was like, maybe it's going to be a lucky day. So yeah.
I do want to shout out just everyone who was a part of this, and I can say them by different soccer communities. So we had Alien OG FC, we had Real Maiz, that's Nico from Espacio 1839, we had Agave FC, also known as Peacocks, playing in Pasadena. We had a good group from Saturday's football, and of course the Poderosas. We had AC Pandemonium as well. Also, I know that there's some crossover of Poderosas Futbolistas, so I'll include those as well.
Other than warming up and getting dry and probably eating and, you know, recharging those batteries, what's next for the organizers and Goals for Gaza?
My hope is to have an all-day field. Would be incredible. We want to have more for our supporters. We want to have more things to engage with. I know we wanted to do kites and coloring, and we had other vendors we wanted to work with. So I think this being where we start, we can only grow from here. Hopefully everyone who came and watched here tells their friends, and we're able to just access more. And we worked with the Palestinian Youth Movement, and I believe that there's a opportunity to collaborate with them as well, and that'll be big. The intention was, let's have somewhere to put our grief. Let's find people in our community who feel this way, who feel passionate about the cause, and find a way to make a difference, because this game really made a difference. We've been a little hush-hush about our donations, but we have definitely surpassed our goal, and we're going to announce that hopefully within the next week, because we're still having donations roll in, and it's just been a really exciting response so far.
I think everybody here has the same feeling about Palestine, and that we're going to have unwavering support no matter what. It doesn't matter if it's raining, it doesn't matter where it is. We're gonna come out. We're gonna march. We're gonna play tournaments that raise money. We're gonna do whatever we can until there's a permanent ceasefire. You know, that's the goal.
Yeah. Some calls to action. Keep calling your representatives, demanding a ceasefire and an end to U.S. U.S. military aid. Follow the BDS. You know, boycotts and divestments work. We saw it happen with taking down South Africa's apartheid. You know, another thing is, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is going to be, you know, even after a ceasefire, which I really hope comes now, it's going to take a long time for Palestine to rebuild their infrastructure and to eventually move towards a path of liberation. So take care of yourselves. Keep showing up in your communities. Keep speaking out. The more people, you know, that speak out, the safer it is for others to speak out. Connect with the communities. Donate to the UNRWA, get involved with the JVP, if not now, Palestinian Youth Movement. Follow Goals for Gaza. And I guess a shout out to all my other organizers who really showed out. We all worked hard together, and it was so collaborative and exciting, and it was such a nice distraction from all of the heartbreak that we've all been watching as well, and it felt really good to do something.
Can you say your name again and then spell it for us, please?
Ariana Reygoza, A-R-I-A-N-A-R, wait, sorry, A-R-I-A-N-A, space, R-A-Y-G-O-Z-A.
as if we needed proof of how tired you were. That was amazing.
To explain all my fumbling, please put that in there so that people are like, she's not making sense. And we're like, it's okay, give her a break, give her a break. She said the same words and written the same sentence so many times. No, thank you. Thank you again. Thank you so much.
I'm with the Palestinian Youth Movement. We are a grassroots, transnational, and independent organization of Palestinian Arab youth organizing for the liberation of our homeland, Palestine. I'm here today with you all as you unite in support and in struggle for the liberation of the Palestinian people. Football fundraising games have a history dating back several decades and have been organized across countries supporting a wide range of causes. As we all know, football plays a universal role in bringing people together across cultural, social, and geographical boundaries. This year in Gaza, more than 1,000 Palestinians are spending the Ramadan in a makeshift refugee camp at the Saleh Football Club in Deir el-Balah in the central Gaza Strip. During the Ramadan evenings, in an effort for life to feel normal and as a means of temporary distraction, the families at the club have been running a five-a-side football tournament. Tournament players have had the sound of Israeli drones hovering in the area, but it is drowned by the cheering of the crowd during the games. 12-year-old Karam Al-Hajari says he finds solace in the football pitch and reminds him of his life before the war. Despite this passing lapse of ordainedness, the burdens of war have been unavoidable. This unique form of resistance has also made Palestinian football a target for Israeli forces. There are countless examples of football stars and coaches being killed throughout Gaza and the West Bank. There are also many football players who have purposely been given traumatic leg injuries, impacting their lives forever. Israel understands the power of football for not only economic mobility for players and their clubs, but also the happiness and pride it brings. But they can never extinguish something as passionate, pure, and simple as football. Right now, over a million Palestinians in Gaza are facing displacement to Rafah. With many confronting famine and starvation, Israeli forces have targeted civilian infrastructure, including homes, hospitals, schools, places of worship, and government institutions, rendering Gaza virtually uninhabitable. Despite these dire circumstances, Palestinians in Gaza steadfastly refuse to abandon their land, holding fast to the legacy passed down by their ancestors and in recognition of their enduring truth. Land means life. Today is the 40th anniversary of the Land Day, where Palestinians heeded the call to strike, defend their land, and resist the occupiers as Israel declared its intent to annex several Palestinian cities. Thus, the creation of the Committee of Land Defenders, who worked to resist the land confiscations by striking, Land Day sparked a collective consciousness across Palestine. The possibilities of struggle manifested in an act of defending their homeland and living in dignity. Land Day is not a singular day or event in Palestinian history. It is every single day for our families back home fighting to maintain the land. As Palestinians in the diaspora, we understand the imperative to fight for our land here in the belly of the beast, utilizing every available avenue with all of you. This includes boycotting, anti-normalization, educating, and mobilizing the masses through protests and art, even organizing football tournaments. Allow Gazan players like Karam to remind you why we must harness the tools at our disposal to resist Zionism and the occupation. As the conditions for ending the genocidal war on Gaza and laying a path towards the liberation of Palestine and its right of return for all Palestinians, our demands remain central. At the same time, the land as the means of Palestinian life is at the center of each of our demands. The Zionist genocide on Gaza is not only a futile attempt to break the resistance of the Palestinian people, but is part of the ongoing Zionist settler colonial project, for which the theft of Palestinian land and destruction of Palestinian life is the primary logic. We demand an immediate permanent ceasefire, an end to the 17-year-long brutal siege on Gaza, and the release of all Palestinian prisoners, and an end to the occupation of Palestine and U.S. complicity in Zionism. On with Palestine, thank you guys once again for having me out here.
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Free Palestine! Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Palestine will never die.
Palestine will never die.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Gaza, Gaza, don't you cry.
Palestine will never die.
Palestine will never die.
Palestine to the Philippines.
From Palestine to the Philippines.
Stop the U.S. war machine.
Stop the U.S. war machine.
From Palestine to Mexico.
From Palestine to Mexico.
The border walls have got to go.
The border walls have got to go.